Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis.
Yes.
Richard Roper in the studio. Richard Roper is... We had so many movies this time of year coming out. Important films. Important cinema.
Sure.
And some of it not so important.
Just ask Scorsese.
But this this week... All right, so we talked... Just very quickly.
Yes.
Obviously, right now, the big movie is The Joker.
Joker.
It's already trending for a big, big, big weekend at the box office.
Yeah, there was... You know, first there were reports that it wasn't going to do this well. Now it's... You know, looks like, as you mentioned yesterday, and you guys have been talking about, there's been a lot of publicity about the content and controversy. It's setting one of the all-time October Thursday records already for the first 24 hours. It looks like it's probably going to make $80 million, which is a lot of money for a hard R rated film like that, as opposed to like a big tent, you know, tentpole PG-13.
Maybe $150 million worldwide.
And it's a film that will do very well worldwide. It just has a lot of themes and character, obviously, that the whole world knows about.
Right.
So that's very successful. I liked it a lot. 3.5 stars. Very polarizing film. My friend Michael Phillips of the Tribune gave it 1.5 stars today. And I could tell. Because Michael was sitting right in front of me at the movie, and I could tell by, I know him so well, I can tell by his body language. I'm like, he's not liking this. But I think it's great. I think it's a great character study. Amazing performance by Joaquin Phoenix. Then we have The Laundromat, the disappointing film from Steven Soderbergh about the Panama Papers scandal of the insurance fraud. And it has all these great actors, including Academy Award winners Meryl Streep and Gary Oldman. But it just never comes together as a cohesive film. Then we also have Lucy in the Sky. That's why we were just hearing Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. Natalie Portman.
Yeah, and you might remember the story from about 10 years ago. Lisa Nowak was a NASA astronaut. She got involved in an affair with a fellow astronaut, and then a fellow NASA employee, a third person, got involved with the guy. So when Lisa Nowak, the astronaut, found out that her lover was having another affair with a younger, it wasn't an astronaut, but it was a NASA employee, she drove all the way from Houston to Florida to kidnap the lover take her hostage. That was her plan, they say.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And the story, first of all, it became, very notorious and infamous because of the fact that we're talking about a NASA love triangle. Mm-hmm. And she actually was, arrested and charged with felonies and actually, was convicted. Because when she showed up in Florida, there was duct tape and a claw hammer and all kinds of other, things. And she actually did try a confrontation. It was not successful. She did, she was given whatever they say in NASA is the equivalent of a dishonorable discharge, a discharge without honors, I think they say, and pleaded out. But it became even more famous because the early reports say that she wore an adult garment the whole way so that she wouldn't have to stop, which may or may not have happened.
I remember that part. That was a headline at the time.
That is the basis for the movie Lucy in the Sky with Natalie Portman playing the astronaut. It's a completely fictionalized version of events, but there is a love triangle and there is the kidnapping or extortion type of thing. It's set in more like current day. Natalie Portman's character, she's got a different name. They call her Lucy Cola, which is just, I guess to avoid lawsuits or whatever. She's an astronaut. She goes into space for a couple of weeks, on the space station. When she comes back, she experiences what a lot of astronauts apparently do experience, where they just, it's hard to shake off that experience. It's so transcendent. It's so amazing. There are physical changes you go through, but also just like you feel like, nobody around here or nothing around here seems important. I guess some in a way, although it's certainly not as traumatic, but it's a PTSD kind of thing.
Right.
But from because you see the Earth.
The Earth is an object as opposed to your home.
Yes. So here's a scene where Natalie Portman, she's been back for a couple of weeks and she's describing to a fellow astronaut how much trouble she's having adjusting to life back on Earth.
You know how it is. You go up there, you see everything, the whole universe. And everything here looks so small. We're so small. And then you splash down. What, you go to Applebee's, Monday Night Football, clip your toenails? And all you can think about is,
when can I go back?
Oh, that's
and that
powerful.
To me, that is like that could be the genesis for a really good movie. That kind of exploration of the astronaut's mind. But the film goes all over the place because at first it's like, is it about this young woman who is, she's been an overachiever. She's always been first in her class. She's never done anything wrong. She's very tightly wound and she comes back and she's in a, you know, a loving marriage, a very, you know, faith-based marriage, and now all of a sudden she meets a fellow astronaut, and it's John Hamm. That's the guy she has the affair with, you know, immediately, and her life starts spiraling out of control. But it's like, is this going to be a domestic drama? Is it going to be, at some point there's some discussion about, well, how much tougher it is for women trying to be astronauts than men? Is it going to be about that type of thing, or is it going to be about this crazy caper? Because she starts stalking the guy and then kind of losing her mind and kind of flying off the handle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all over the place. And the style of the film is so self-conscious. There's all these overhead shots, like she's at home, just remind us that she was in space, and slow motion. And they change, like, the look of it. It's a widescreen film. It's a handheld film. It's a case of a director who's done a lot of good television, making his film debut and saying, I'm going to use every single palette I have and every single paint in the box instead of just using the ones he needs. And you get so distracted by the style of the movie. It's like when you go to see a concert, they go, and now a drum solo. And 35 minutes later, you're like, oh, gee. So the end result is one of the most disappointing movies of the year.
One and a half
stars for Lucy in the Sky. It starts off so interesting.
We love
it's
the
such a great
Portman.
Premise. And she's great. You can hear her there. She's got her little Texas accent going. And she's wonderful. She's never going to be bad in a movie.
And John Hamm is great in everything.
Yeah, and he's really, he's the worst. This guy, oh, man, he's a bad guy. I mean, he's a womanizer. He's a manipulator. He's a bad boy. And you can exactly see why, you know, he would have certain successes when it comes to seducing not just Natalie Portman's character, but a much younger female candidate, and how he kind of justifies it all. He's always good. The performances are good. The writing is terrible, and the directing is really some of the most overwrought, heavy-handed directing I've seen in a major motion picture in years. So when you're watching it, it's so bad that you feel like, did they you know, is this the right version of this film? Did they switch the reels? It's very disappointing, because this is one I was really looking forward to, because that story itself is fascinating.
It is. How much time do they spend in space?
Not a lot.
No, okay.
Most of
it is
yeah.
a space movie.
And, you know, then and on top of everything else, they throw in these extraneous characters. Ellen Burstyn, who's a legend. You know, she goes all the way back. She was the mom in The Exorcist. Mm-hmm. She was in The Last Picture Show. She plays the obligatory grandma, the Texas grandma, who, you know, as soon as you introduce the character, she's got the oxygen tank, but she's still sneaking a cigarette. She's got the gun in her purse, and she gives a lot of down-spun home right. advice, you know, where you're like, this
a little
is
cliche.
Not a lot cliche.
Mm-hmm.
Very disappointing.
Aww.
Lucy in the Sky
lands
with a thud. That's why I told you guys I call it Sad Astra, because it's sort of like the, you know, the Brad Pitt movie, which we liked. Which is about, you know, an astronaut on a different kind of quest. And you guys remember Notting Hill? One of the
yes.
great romantic comedies,
yes.
right?
Of course.
So Notting Hill, if you go back and look at
Hugh
it, it's, playing a note, it's always playing in a heavy rotation. It's the Shawshank Redemption of romantic comedies. It's always playing somewhere.
Yes.
Notting
right.
Hill and Love Actually, right? Both done by Richard Curtis. But if you remember, in the movie Notting Hill, Julia Roberts was playing a movie star named Anna Scott.
Uh-huh.
And she was in London promoting her film called Helix. And you might remember in that movie, the movie within a movie, she plays an astronaut.
Yes.
And she's got the bad red wig. And you see a couple of quick clips from the actual movie, the Anna Scott movie, and it looks like the worst movie ever.
Right.
This is that movie. This is the whole version.
They made it.
Lucy in the Sky is that movie.
Oh, aren't they making that into like a limited series now?
What? Helix, the Anna Scott Notting Hill movie?
No, Notting Hill. I think Notting Hill is getting Netflix.
I believe so, but I think it's just going to be, you know, I don't think it's picking up the characters. I think it's a retelling of
right.
the story. But I'm not positive
but
about that.
But it's different, but it's a lot of, because that movie's 20 years old now, right?
It is exactly 20 years old. So 1999, believe it or not.
They've updated it, and they've got people who, you know, might be more diverse in the cast than you had in Notting Hill. The whitest film ever made.
Well, Richard, Hugh Grant as William Thackeray. You know, Hugh Grant's the whitest actor ever. You know, he's pale.
I mean, everybody's like translucent.
He's translucent. Yeah,
so
exactly.
white, it's translucent. Yeah.
Hello.
So it is. So they. I think they're doing like a, sort of a, you know, modern London version of it. You know, where everybody you've got a Pakistani character and you've got an African character and you've got.
Yeah, why not?
You know, they've just decided to do that. So every time it's on, I
you
stop and
to
I
stop,
watch
right?
it.
Right. I love, yeah, and you go back and you see all these little like Notting Hill. Her boyfriend, her you know, rude, cheating American boyfriend who's only in one scene is Alec Baldwin in Notting Hill, who shows up unexpectedly. And he's great in like 3 minutes. He assumes that Hugh Grant's character is a waiter, you know, he gives him like a bucket. Honey, what are you getting? And then he says, don't order too much. I don't want to be known as the guy that's dating the fat American actress. You're like, you're the worst.
Wait a second, but don't you think, every time I see that, don't you think that really is Alec Baldwin?
Yes!
That's where he's playing himself.
He might not have known there were any cameras. He just was told to show up at a hotel room with Julia Roberts in 1999. Yes, well, you know. And poor Hugh Grant, the whole movie. Is it all right if I just say no? Yeah, and then she leaves. Oh, I may have bungled that. Buggers. He has to chase her. I love that.
That is a fantastic movie.
I'm glad we're talking more about Notting Hill than Lucy in the Sky. We should.
I thought it is so funny because you are right about that. That the movie in the movie
Helix,
and she goes by on the buses. There's posters of her on the buses, and it basically they put her in Jennifer Garner's wig from Alias.
It's also from that era. And Natalie Portman has almost the same hairstyle in this movie. But yeah, the movie she's making, I'm like, well, she wasn't going to keep making $15 million a movie if this is where her career is going.
Right.
She'd be getting a job in the travel bookshop that Hugh Grant was operating.
She did eventually. I think that's how that movie ends.
Yeah, that's a spoiler alert.
Yeah. All right. thank you.
Don't see Lucy in this guy.
All right. Hold on. Let's check out what's going on in the newsroom. Let's check in with Kim Gordon.
Roe, new information being released about Bernie Sanders' health. We'll tell you what his doctors had to say coming up.
Roe Khan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN Chicago.
We were just here. We were just talking to Richard Roper about Lucy in the Sky and the female astronaut movie you don't want to see, not highly reviewed, but NASA's just announced that the first all-female spacewalk could happen this month. Remember, they had announced back in March that they were going to do it, and then they realized they didn't have the necessary gear for that many women at one time.
They needed another uniform, another whole space.
So now they've got some more female space uniform, you know, all the gear that would fit a woman of
with
some
all
smaller
the things
size.
They do right at NASA, they couldn't figure that out.
I know.
I mean, think about that for a second. I mean, think about the math and the technology and the preparation, the logistics of getting those humans in space and having them live.
That's what they do.
And they go, oh, you know what? We forgot it. Who forgot the uniform?
They said, okay, you try on this one, and you try on this one, and oh my gosh, those are way too big.
And you can't just give the woman, like, well, little guy's version, right? Because there's different types of things that would have to be involved, I don't think, right?
Yeah, they didn't have the medium-sized suits. They didn't have enough of those, so I don't know if they're male and female, but they didn't have enough back in March after they had already announced that they were going to do an all-female spacewalk. Now they're back ready to go. End of October. October 21st, in fact, so not all that far away. For that.
All right. And Bernie has just gotten out of the hospital.
But it's been announced that Bernie did have a heart attack. He did suffer from a heart attack when he was... Remember when he was in Las Vegas at that hospital speaking and all of a sudden, very unlike him, asked for a chair, said this has been a very long day, and his staffers immediately knew something was wrong, goes to the hospital. Turns out he had those two stents placed in his blocked artery. Well, now they've learned that it actually was a heart attack.
Wow.
Which sort of changes a little bit of things for the recovery, doesn't it?
Yeah. Mm. I would say that there's got to be a moment here where even though Bernie had a $25 million quarter, did you see that?
More than anyone else.
Right, on the Democratic side.
Biden's at 15. And remember, he's always very good with getting more donations. His average donation was the lowest again at $18.
18 cents per donation?
Exactly.
That is incredible.
Pretty close. Isn't it?
He still gets that much money.
Pulling in.
Doesn't he immediately give it back, though? Isn't that the idea? Like everyone gets a dollar back?
If he decides to fold the campaign here, which I suppose could happen, then he would have to. He could spend it on another campaign. Mm. He just can't keep it.
Okay.
So he could, or he could return it. In some ways, that's very complicated.
Oh, that would be so complicated. But he could give it to another candidate, right? So he could say Elizabeth Warren, whoever. This is for you.
Great if he gave it to like somebody that's polling like just barely at 0.9%.
Marianne Williamson, I would like to say that I have always had a bit of a crush on you from afar. I do like your idea of visiting the planet Zorgon and being the president there if it does not work out here for you. So here's $25 million.
That would be a big haul for her. She raised $3 million in the third quarter.
Yeah. See, now, you know, Cory Booker's the guy who's like, what is going on here?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, Cory Booker's a senator.
He's on
television all the time.
He's got the sleeves rolled up. He's looking great.
He looks like he's ready to go.
Great things. Do and some- he's like, what? Anybody?
But you know what? He's got the, not that I'm accusing him of this, but he's got the steroid eyes, right? He's got that look, like the eyes are wide open, yeah. And he's always like really very intense about everything. You're like, okay, you know what? Is there any way to, and stop breaking into Spanish halfway through a sentence.
There feels, with him, I think it does feel like a lot of it is rehearsed and calculated, like yes. The breaking into Spanish.
Yep.
I think he's a good guy. I think he's got some good things to say, but there's an authenticity that's lacking there.
Yes, I think that's exactly
right. Yeah, that's a good call, a good way to say it, I think. But he's and he's only barely ahead of Marianne Williamson in the fundraising right now.
Who's authentically crazy, but embraces it.
People connect with the authentic and crazy.
Yeah, exactly. She's got that Porsche.
I would like to say
that vote.
That of all of the Democrats in the field, I think Marianne Williamson's the only one who's got a shot against Trump.
Where even he would go like,
I don't know what to do with that.
I got nothing.
All right.
Yeah.
I mean, I got Pocahontas here. I got this. I got that. I could, you know, there's a little soft racism over there. But this, I don't know what to do. Because she's a daytime television star. Right? Or whatever the hell she is or was or, you know. All right. Well, we wish everybody the best. I think this, I wouldn't be surprised if by Sunday Bernie folds up the tent.
Yeah.
I don't know about
that.
That'd
be the best.
Well, they got the big thing next week, right? Isn't it? They're in Ohio.
The Democratic debate. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or the, what's in, the next Democratic debate is also this month. So
right. They're at Otterbein.
The Octagon. Mm-hmm. This one, right? Yeah, right. It's really stepping up now.
Marianne Williamson's going to levitate at this one just to show us that she can.
I bet you don't believe I could float across this room right
She'd still only get like 7% if she could do that, but it would still be good.
She would. She'd probably surge in the polls.
I think it's next week. I think it's coming up.
Yeah, we've got October 15th at the Otterbein University in Westerville, Ohio.
You'll know it's a week away because you start seeing the countdown clock on the cable news channels as if it's like the first one.
6 days, 11 hours.
And you're like, why are you showing me that?
43 minutes.
I know.
I
wouldn't
do
that to my own wedding. You have the clock up the whole time.
At like Christmas, maybe. Like if you're an 8-year-old for Christmas morning, you might want to see that clock. That's the last time I wanted to see something like that. Because as you're counting down to it, you're counting down to something you're not going to watch anyway.
Exactly.
Although you might watch it to see if Bernie makes it through it. That's the only thing. And God bless him. You know, he's been around a long time.
He has.
He's
been fighting the good fight.
He's got to. I think this is
even
it.
Even last time out, wasn't his wife kind of thinking this is not the smartest and greatest thing for personal reasons and worried about him?
I like when they didn't want to put out. You know, they're also the people that didn't want to put their taxes out. Right?
Oh, yeah.
They didn't want to put the tax out because they were going to find out that Bernie... Well, then what you should do... I am a millionaire. That is correct. But you should write a best-selling book like I did. Cooking with Bernie.
What's this $800 expenditure for the BP tattoo you had put on your right buttock?
Very weird.
Yeah, it seems like a conflict of interest.
Oh, man. Anyway. All right. Well, okay. There you go. I think what we just did is we just blew Kim Gordon's top story there, but we're going to let her handle it anyway. Kim Gordon's got the news, brought to you by VictoryAutoRecords.com, and then music, live music from Carla and Phil.